You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're taking a listen to Wisconsin's musical past. You're hearing the sound of Otto and Iva Rindlisbacher and the rest of their group, the Lumberjacks, performing a song released in 1941 in Rice Lake.
Songs like that one are the focus of a new effort to preserve the musical heritage of the Upper Midwest. UW-Madison's Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Culture and the Mills Music Library have received a $230,000 grant. It's going to go towards preserving recorded music from indigenous and working class immigrant groups.
Here to tell us more is Jim Leary, co-founder for the Center of the Study of Upper Midwest Culture and professor emeritus of folklore and Scandinavian studies at UW-Madison. He's the author of Folk Songs of Another America. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, I'm very glad to be here. Thank you, Rob.
Well, tell us the range that we're talking about when we use this phrase, our upper Midwestern musical heritage.
Well, I think you can go back to the late 18th century when all kinds of indigenous people began to interact with French folks and others involved in the fur trade, trading fiddle tunes and other kinds of rhythms, and a lot of that picked up in various other ways in the 19th century, but we don't know what any of it sounded like in a kind of a tangible auditory way until the early 20th century when people began to make recordings, some of them field recordings, some commercial recordings.
So when you think over this genre, this group here, what are some of the key musicians and music makers that you're thinking about preserving?
Well, we have all the indigenous peoples, and they have a wide variety of musical styles, from the Oneida, who've come from the east, to the Ho-Chunk, who've always been here, to the various Algonquian people like Potawatomi, Menominee, Ojibwe. And then, there's fiddle music, accordion music. There's a lot of non-Anglo-European music of Germanic, Slavic, and Scandinavian people, especially in Wisconsin, and French people, too. And a lot of that gets kind of mixed around as well or gets changed through time, interacting with forms of popular music and little local traditions on the ground.
Before we listen to some of the other music that we're going to check out today, I want to talk about this preservation effort. What's out there? What form is it in? What are you going to have to do to keep it around?
Yeah, well, the commercial record companies were interested in selling records and record players to the so-called foreign-born, and so they had a foreign series that targeted a lot of immigrant and ethnic groups, and we've got 20,000 or so of those foreign series 78s in the Mills Music Library, and we're actively acquiring others. But then folklorists and ethnomusicologists began to make field recordings as early as the 20s and especially through the 30s and 40s. And then there was a kind of a drop-off, and then Rick March retired from the Wisconsin Arts Board, and I and a number of other people began to do a lot of this field recording from the late 70s through the mid-90s. So those are all in different formats, in discs, in reel tape, in cassette, in digital audio tape or DAT. Now we're recording in digital format, but what we have to do is try to convert some of these older recordings to digital format, both to preserve them and to make them more widely accessible, because we really want to get these songs and tunes repatriated back to the communities and to the larger public in this region.
And how big an undertaking is that?
It's a massive undertaking. Yeah, it'll take a lot of work because not only do we have the sound recordings, but we have photographs, we have field notes and so forth, but the stuff is in many, many different languages, and we have tons of it. And so this three-year grant, I think, will allow us to make some pretty significant progress, but we're just going to be prioritizing because we'll be scratching the surface.
Well, given that it's an ongoing project and technology is always changing, maybe the word final isn't the right word, but what is the final form you envision for this project?
Well, we want to have a sophisticated website where you can see images of the 78 RPM record labels, where you can see the field notes, you can see photographs of some of the performers, you can hear the sound files, and in some cases, we may highlight particular recordings by providing more background about the performers and the style. We want to have some events that go on with this. We want to work some of this into K through 12 curriculum. We want to be able to invite musicians and scholars to acquaint themselves and not only with what we can put out online, but with the deeper material in the collection. So we really want to kind of help to spark a revitalization and a renewal of attention in this important cultural material.
We're talking with Jim Leary right now, co-founder of the Center of the Study of Upper Midwestern Culture, and we're talking about a new grant that's going to help fund preservation of historical musical recordings from Wisconsin and the Upper Midwest. And to get at Jim's a little bit more before we listen to music, we were talking about it, bringing more attention to this kind of music. That was a big point of your book, was that when people talked about music of the Upper Midwest, we didn't really know what we were talking about. Do you think that an effort like this could start to change that and bring it into greater focus for scholars and for just everyday people?
Well, I really hope so. My Folk Songs of Another America was reviewed in the Chicago Reader, the New York Times, and the Los Angeles Times, and they all said, wow, who knew? We knew about music in the South, but not in the Upper Midwest. Who knew that lumberjacks could be so wild, or that there were Welsh singers or all these indigenous people? So, I hope so.
Let's check out some of the music. I think this is something that you may have recorded yourself, if I understand correctly. It's a song with Slovak immigrant influences recorded in Mukwa, Wisconsin. Here's a taste of it.
Ready, Stasha.
Ready.
Ready.
Well, tell us about the music and the musicians.
Well, that was Tom Johannek on button accordion, playing his immigrant father's button accordion. They're Slovaks, and he was singing with some of his a brother and a cousin and some neighbors. I recorded this in 1981, and they've had a strong Slovak music tradition there since the early 20th century. This was a song a woman is complaining of. That the musicians didn't invite her to the dance, and she was ready to tip them, and her mother had made some kolaches, and next time, even though it's midnight, let me know, and I'll be there.
That's a fun story. Well, there's another one you brought. We've got a field recording of a hymn. This is another one from the 80s. Here's a listen.
Armon lapset kaiki tälla. Panka pois jo murhenne, ei ole syytä soron meillä.
And Jim, tell us about what we're listening to there.
Well, that's a Finnish Lestadian or Finnish Apostolic Lutheran hymn, and this is a kind of a low church movement that started up in Sápmi, in the Sami region of northern Sweden, and then spread over to the Tornio River Valley that divided Sweden from Finland. And a lot of immigrants to the UP and northern Wisconsin, some to northern Minnesota, were from this Lestadian tradition. And this was a recording I made in the Highbridge Marengo area of southern Ashland County. And at the time, in the early 80s, there was a guy named Richard Kumpala, who was a butcher at the Iron River Co-op, who was a called preacher, and he was still composing songs in Finnish. But the lead singer, Charles Carey, was their hymn singer, as they called him, their cantor. And so he knew all the tunes. They don't have any written notation, and he had a strong voice and had to kind of lead the singing, and his ex-wife, Lempi Luoma, was joining him on vocals there.
We've talked a lot about archives and these 20,000 discs you have to preserve now. Are there living traditions that you're still out there collecting, or maybe your students are out there collecting of new immigrant communities?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's always music going on. Very interesting Hmong traditions where people are composing new songs about the American experience, and the same with other immigrants who have come to this community. And then entrenched, whether indigenous or ethnic or children of immigrants, working class communities are also sustaining a lot of these older kinds of traditions of social dance music and song. So it's a very vibrant scene out there still.
Jim, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That's Jim Leary, Professor Emeritus of Folklore and Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison. He's co-founder of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwest Culture. He talked to us about a new grant that's going to fund preservation of historic musical recordings from Wisconsin and the rest of the Upper Midwest.